T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Hopefully you're having a safe drive in on this early Monday morning. Getting your work week started. Going to be a big week ahead. There could be a lot of news this week. Well, we have the NBA All-Star Game. It is All-Star Weekend coming up. That means John Collins.
In All-Star Game a little what late, though, this year, ain't it? I remember the All-Star Game was always on, like, the weekend of the – well, I guess the weekend just passed to the 11th. But it kind of fell on the 11th, around the February 11th, around that time. Because I remember that day specifically because that's the day my baby boy was born, on February 11th. And I remember the All-Star Game was here in Atlanta. And I was trying to get to the All-Star Game, and I couldn't get downtown. So I decided I was going to go to the comic book store and get some comic books. And his mother called me and was like, "I'm going into labor." So happy birthday to my baby boy.
How old is little Hugh today?
16.
Oh, it's sweet 16 today.
16 today, yeah. And you know what he wants his birthday?
Yeah, driver's license.
Money.
I wanted a driver's license.
He does not care. Listen, he has two chauffeurs that he will call at any time.
Lyft and Uber?
Oh, yeah. It will call at any time. And then this is how – I don't know if anybody else is going through this with their child. Has no desire to drive because they like the fact that mom and dad pick them up whenever they want.
Well, that's not a bad thing. That means no having to buy a car, no having to pay insurance.
Well, yeah, that. But this is the kicker, though, John. He has no respect for your time because it's like you're his personal driver. So I remember one time I picked him up from school, and I guess he does his mom like this because he did me like that a couple times. Like, I'll pull up to the school. He'll call me. I was like, "Hey, when you coming?" "Okay, I'm on my way." "Where are you?" "I'm around the corner." "Where are you?" "Okay, I'm coming down the street." And then I wait outside for 10 minutes because he's not ready to go. And I'm like, "Dude, I am not your Uber driver. I don't know if you do your mom like that, but you ain't going to test my gangster like that. We about to have a problem." So he will do that. So he needs to get his license. He definitely needs to get his license.
Well, happy birthday to little Hugh out there. 16 today. That's unbelievable. That's great.
16. Yes.
As mentioned, a busy week ahead. We have All-Star Weekend for the NBA. Slam Dunk on Saturday night with All-Star Weekend. And John Collins and John and Trey in the Rising Stars game. It is also the weekend of Daytona
500. It's a lot going on this weekend, man.
Yep.
HBCU induction this weekend too.
Oh, that's right.
A little nervous.
Where's that going to be?
College Football Hall of Fame. Yeah.
And then of course you know, we got, who knows what other news we're going to have. The Braves, could they be making a big move this week?
We hope so. I think everybody at this point is kind of hoping that the Braves do. I don't know. I don't think it's any pressure to make any moves before pitcher and catchers. Mm-hmm. It would be nice, but I don't think they're going to do that. This might be something that might happen during you know, pitchers and catchers, after the start of pitchers and catchers. It might be something like that. I don't think there's going to be any push to get something done immediately.
And a lot of that will depend, again, here we are on February the 11th, and no Machado, no Bryce Harper. They still haven't signed.
They have to be at home kind of a little antsy, not knowing where you're going to potentially be.
I did not think it would go this late, but it has. I mean, I think first teams start reporting day after tomorrow. So, I mean, it's
– Clearwater, correct?
For the Braves.
Well, the Grapefruit League.
Grapefruit League. Down in Orlando for the Braves.
Not everybody. I know everybody doesn't go to Orlando, but yeah.
Is that everybody on the 15th? Okay, everybody on the 15th. Everybody show up on the 15th. Then we have, that's what I meant. Everybody, every team. You were saying everybody shows, everybody's pitchers and catchers show up on the 15th, right? Okay, I just checked. It's not like football, because football staggers. You know, you have some guys who have rookies come in. Some dates and some, they're all over the place.
Yeah, rookies usually go in a couple days early.
Meanwhile, Atlanta United's making a move. They cut Chris McCann, which makes some people on the internet unhappy.
Made a lot of people on the internet unhappy. A lot of people. Yeah, it's a lot of moves. But you know what? I look at Atlanta United, and you know there are some reports out there that Darlington Nagby might not be with the squad as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, right?
I look at it like, okay, you can't have everything that you want with your professional sports. And Atlanta United has done something that has not been done ever in the history of MLS, winning the cup in the second season.
Mm-hmm.
And people got to get used to this, man. People have to get used to the fact that this is how business works. This is the operations. This is the day-to-day operations of running a professional club. Things like this happen. Players are getting disgruntled. It's just unfortunate that, you know, these are like the babies of these are like our kids. They're growing up. They're growing up too fast. You know, you just got used to them. And people are moving around and stuff, and you don't like it. Get used to it, people. Get used to it. I know it's one of those things where everybody's still kind of dealing with the fact that they just won an MLS Cup. But this is the day-to-day operations of a major business. This is a business, and they're running it like a business.
We are also doing – Falcons could make another move or two this week. We're certainly monitoring the very latest out of Flowery Branch, as you know. But we're talking about the AAF. Now, the AAF debuted over the weekend, and on our Twitter feed at 929 The Game, we want you to interact with us on our Twitter, on the polls, asking us questions. And, of course, the phone line is always open at 404-741-0929. And we're asking you what you thought of the AAF. What do you think of the new rules that the AAF had? No kickoffs, no PATs, 35-second play clock, the live replay official camera, all the new rules. And right now, 62% say they need to see a little bit more of the AAF. 23% say the NFL needs these rules, and 15% are saying, please stop. So I know that it's a real short sampling size, which is why most people are saying they need to see more. But there were certain things that I thought were interesting. I mean, you can't help but know that the NFL was taking notes this weekend and watching the AAF, which, by the way, got very good TV ratings. It beat the NBA.
Yeah, a lot of people weren't there, though. A lot of people weren't in the stands from the games that I saw. You know what's funny, John? I think they did a great job of presenting it to us. I think they did a great job of telling us why this had to come about now. I think they did. Bill Polian came out and he talked about it a lot. There was another thing, John, that they had. They have an app. They have an Alliance of American Football app that I didn't get a chance to. I forgot I downloaded it during the game. But obviously you could pick the play. And if you pick the right play, you have a chance to level up. I don't know how the app works, but I'm going to be interested to see and anxious to see how it works the next time that they play. Because I guess you pick a game and you could pick the play that they're running, and you know you could follow the game in real time from your app.
You mean like kind of like QB1? Did you ever play QB1 in a bar? Did anybody ever play QB1? That's the game you would go into a bar and you'd have a bunch of teams and you have a little box. And you would, you know, pick the play, pass, short left, and you get points based on whether or not you pick
the play.
I think
this is kind of what it is. I'm not sure because, like I said, I forgot I downloaded it before the game started, and I forgot to use it because I got to watching the game and I wasn't thinking about the app. But it's something that I'm curious to see how it works. So if anybody used it during the game, let me know and tell me what it was.
Now tell me what you think. I mean, what did you think? I got to say, what did you think of no kickoffs, Hugh?
I didn't like that, but I guess the NFL, to your point, the NFL is probably going to look at that and try to figure out is that something that they would want to do. I didn't like that, though.
What did you think of no PATs?
Didn't like that.
I kind of liked the no PAT. Honestly, I did. The kickoff thing I got to see more of and kind of get used to. But the no PAT where you had to go for two, I don't know. I thought I kind of liked that one a little bit.
I didn't like the no blitzing either.
There was the no blitzing.
Yeah, no blitzing. I didn't like that.
I also liked the 35-second play clock.
It felt like the Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl. Felt a little bit like the Pro Bowl.
I mean, it's not the greatest football. I mean, I understand that.
Well,
it's still
they're still learning. I didn't look at it with the product on the field. I know a lot of people say they were like, bleh.
Yeah.
But I think that they're still learning, and it's something that will get better with time.
Taj in Lawrenceville, you're on with John and Hugh. Hey, Taj, what did you think of the AAF? What was your impression of the new rules?
Hey, man. It was pretty good. It was almost like it was a throwback to like old football, seeing that quarterback get hit. Oh man, it was kind of satisfying. But like at the same time, it's kind of gonna get. I had to get used to it a little bit because the team seeing Atlanta legends is kind of odd. But yeah, I like the idea of it.
Yeah, it was interesting. Thanks, Taj. I appreciate it. It was kind of old school football, and the quarterbacks getting hit. Man, those two quarterbacks, Matt Sims, the former Falcons, quarterback, is the quarterback of the Legends. He got drilled one time, and so did the San Diego quarterback, who got de-cleated, got his helmet knocked off, and everything else. Bergovici, the former quarterback at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is that they did this issue with a restriction, because there's a restriction on how many guys can rush. You can only rush five guys.
Yeah, they got after the quarterback a little bit, and quarterbacks got touched. I wonder when they're going to tweak that rule a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because if you don't, then your quarterbacks aren't going to survive long in this league.
Yeah, right?
Especially when you got guys out there that hungry, trying to make it to that next level. So, yeah, that the replay official, still the verdict is out on that. I think she needs to be a little bit more decisive in her plays. I mean, but that was, to be honest, that play that she was trying to decipher, that was a tough one. I mean, but if you look at it from at first blush, it wasn't a catch. I think she ruled it a catch during the game. She ruled
right.
it a catch.
She did, eventually.
But it touched the ground.
All right, so it's the first touchdown for Orlando, and the player goes over the middle, forgive me, I have learned the guys in the league, makes the catch over the Atlanta Legends defensive back with his hands, comes to the ground, cradles it in his right arm, and as he lands on the ground, his elbow hits, and then the ball touches, and then he rolls over and he maintains possession. Now, as we understand what is a catch in the NFL, it would have been incomplete, and Terry Valenti is the replay official, and she's up in the box, and they have this camera on her, and at first she says, incomplete, the ball touched the ground, to touch the ground, we're gonna overrule this, because it was called a touchdown on the field, right? I think so, right? No. Was it called a touchdown, or was it called incomplete? I can't remember.
They ruled it a touchdown.
Okay, so they ruled it a
they
touchdown.
They ruled it a touchdown. She ruled it a touchdown. So I think it was ruled an incomplete pass, but I think more so, John, it was one of those situations where they were doing replay,
right?
Replay. They were replaying to make sure they got the call right.
So she rules it incomplete, and then she looks at it again, and then she looks at it again. This whole process took, I don't know, a minute and a half or so, certainly over a minute, and then she finally overturns herself. She kind of looks at it again and says, "Well, the elbow's down," and then this is the final decision that she makes.
Wait a minute, 1 second. We've got an elbow down. It's got it and touched. Nope, we're going to overturn this and reverse this to a catch in the end zone for a score by Orlando.
Yeah, all right. So it was ruled incomplete on the field, and then she overturns it and says it's a touchdown by Orlando. Now, whether you agree with the ruling, whether it was a catch, I want you to set that aside. I got to tell you, I thought it was great that you were inside the sausage making of that, because that's going to put those – would the NFL ever have – the gumption to put a camera like that into the replay official booth?
That's probably something they would consider. That's probably something that they would consider. I don't know though, John, because that's a lot of wishy-washiness. Even with the guys in the booth for the NFL now at Fox and at the other stations that air the games, they're real when they make calls. They're real kind of vague on what they'll tell you what they think it should be.
Right.
But they'll give you both sides of it to try to let you make your own decision. I think that this was too cut and dry. And then the wishy-washy part, I think, is going to probably turn a lot of people off as well. Because, you know, that could be one of them calls where, you know, you could easily feel like she could probably be easily influenced by somebody.
Well, and that was the one problem you would have with the call itself, is that they rule it incomplete on the field. She looks at it and she goes, yeah, it's an incomplete pass. And then she says, and we think we're done. And then all of a sudden she says something to the effect of, wait, let me take another look at it. And that's when she rules it a complete. It was almost like, and I'm not saying this happened, but it seemed like, you know, all of a sudden somebody got in there and go, no, Terry, overturn it, you know, and because.
Yeah, it was fun to see, though. It was fun to see that dead by play, see that all go down the way that it did. It's something that it's going to take a while, John, because this is 30 days in. It's going to take a while for them to get their timing and everything. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, no, and look, by all accounts, the AAF's off to a solid start. It'll be interesting to see what kind of traction the league gets. You mentioned that the crowds were – I think they actually got more – my understanding is I think that the AAF people were expecting crowds like 10,000 to 15,000. In Orlando, I think they had 30. In Birmingham, I think they had about the same. So I think they actually had bigger crowds than they expected they would have. It will be interesting. See, the difference between, say, Birmingham – and Orlando and Memphis is that Atlanta has, even though it's a much bigger city than any of those towns, Atlanta has competition, big time.
And look like Orlando has some tailgaters, too. And they dressed up like Apollos. They dressed up in togas.
And it looks like Atlanta's
team. They
feel
like they were drunk.
May not be very good. There's that, too. Wasn't exactly legendary to get 6 points in your opening game. But, you know, hey, listen, they shake it off and they go play San Diego. Their first home game isn't for a couple of weeks when they play Birmingham. They have another road game coming up this weekend. All right, the NFL, did they take notice? We have the very latest from the NFL as we continue with John and Hugh. Hey, it's a morning show. A lot to discuss. United Braves and now the NFL is next. The AAF needs music like this, right? One of the things I think that helped make the National Football League was NFL films and the way they painted these guys as gladiators and warriors and had this big music, you, and made it seem so larger than life in the arena. It was one of the things I really think helped kind of make the NFL this, you know, game that it became.
Oh, and
it,
the
it
hits.
Embraced it. You know?
And the hits.
Yep.
I remember, shout out to Steve Sable, man. Had a chance to meet him before he passed. Did a segment with him one time. It was because of the way that the NFL was presented. You know, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. And the way that they slow-mo the ballet between the big fellas and the running back running through the hole and stuff. I remember watching that when I was a younger man and just wanting to be a part of that. I'll never forget it. Just the way that they presented the NFL to you. And the way that they showed the highlights and the drama with the music and everything, I think that's what people kind of fell in love with football. It was during that time. It was during that time because I remember vividly the slow motion pics of the plays developing and people cutting back and everything. And then when you see it actually in real time, how fast everybody's moving and so all the different moving parts of the NFL, I think that's what it was.
Of course, the morning show with John and Hugh, looking at the AAF. One of the things about the AAF, and we'll get into the NFL in just a moment, but it just kind of occurs to me, because we're going to be discussing the AAF with you today and the Atlanta Legends, is these guys are going to play a 10-game season, and I know that the NFL scouts are going to all these games, Hugh, to see if there's a guy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, right, they're all there. Every game, the NFL is sending their scouts out to see if there's a guy. I guess Atlanta has an advantage. The Falcons do a slight advantage because Atlanta is the only NFL market in the AAF. So there's a team here, so they'll be able to see the guys coming through. But if you play a 10-game AAF season, are you going to be able to go right into an NFL training camp in 5 months?
I mean, guys have done it before. Guys used to do it overseas, the World League. The NFL, you're a World League. You used to do it the same thing. I remember had a teammate of mine, talk about him all the time, Bobby Hamilton, played overseas. I think he played for I forgot what team he played for over there, Amsterdam. I can hear him saying it now, Amsterdam. But he would come from there and come right over to the NFL and play right after the season was over. The season was over the week before training camp started. Mm-hmm. And he came into training camp and he played. You got to do what you got to do. I mean, and I think they even said that in the broadcast, John. If you want to be a part of the NFL, you have to do what you have to do.
You know, I should Mike Rozier would know about that because Mike Rozier went right from the Pittsburgh Maulers to the Atlanta Falcons and ended up playing some phenomenal amount. I mean, like he played like 31 football games in a calendar year or something like that. I mean, something ridiculous like that. And you know, without a break, he went right from the USFL right to the NFL. And Herschel may have done the same thing, as a matter of fact. Herschel Walker may have gone straight from the New Jersey Generals to the
NFL. You got to do what you got to do, man. Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, so you know what? That'd be interesting to find out with those guys because I know that there's some guys out there that this is what the AAF is partly about, is to set these guys up. If they shine, they're going to get an invite to an NFL training camp because a number of them are going to get invites to NFL training camps. Anyway, just kind of made me think. You got 5 months to NFL training camps, more or less, mid-July. One quick note about the Falcons have lost, as you know, they've cut three players. Two of them have now signed. Neither of those is named Matt Bryant. Rocky Alford signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Now Brooks Reed has signed a one-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals.
So, they're taking all Atlanta's leftovers. That's how it is in NFL, man. I mean, that's how it is. You know, and that's probably, I'm pretty sure for Brooks' deal, it's probably cap-friendly for them. So that way, if it doesn't work out, they can cut him. You mm-hmm. know, if that's what they decide to do. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you see guys and you get a chance to look at them, you know, and you got and the thing of it is, lose my train of thought here, but it's normally the teams that you've played that are a little bit familiar with you. They see how you play and they're interested in you. So, yeah, that makes sense. And good luck to both of them.
And Brooks is from there. He played it, you know, down the road in Tucson in college ball. And it's funny, Hugh, because, you know, in the time that we've covered the Falcons, when you cut guys, if you're a fan out there, you're cutting, you know, hey, Rocky Alford's gone, yay. Or Matt Bryant's gone, boo. You react in those and I understand that. Get me, I understand that. But we develop kind of personal relationships with these guys. And so, I mean, Brooks Reed's a really good dude. And, I mean, yeah, you have to move on. But it's funny because once you develop the personal relationship, you're like, I'm going to miss that dude.
Well, you know, as a rule in the NFL, you never did that. You never let anybody borrow anything of yours. Because I can tell you to this day, every time that he sees me, Marcus Stroud will always say, where is my damn Rick James anthology CD? Because when I got cut, I had his CD, his Rick James anthology CD. And to this day, every time that he sees me, he's like, damn it, man, where's my anthology CD?
Do you still have it?
Yes, I do. But that's why you don't really get it.
Why don't you just mail it to him?
Because it's like in store. You know, I still have the CD. Marcus, if you're listening, I still got a CD.
Why don't you just get a dub of it and send the man a CD back?
Or just give him another copy.
No.
I can give you the album.
Hey, that Rick James anthology CD is begging.
The anthology CD is begging.
It's the Rick James anthology. And he was like, damn it, Hugh. Because I got cut. I said, man, let me listen to your CD. And he didn't really want to let me have a CD because it's a two disc. It's a two disc CD. And he was like, man, listen, dog. I need my CD back. And then I got cut. And when I got cut, he was like, man, you better get back my damn anthology CD before you leave. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to get back to him. I still got it.
Wait. No, stop. That's only part of the story. Did you intentionally not get back to him?
No, it was one of those things. It was just one of those things that when you get cut, you don't think. It wasn't like, oh, damn, I got to get Stroud back his anthology CD.
So
it wasn't that.
We're not going to have to act as protection for you on Saturday night. He's not going to show up at this ceremony looking for
his
CD. Where's
my anthology CD? No, he ain't going to do that. Probably not. I think he got other things he got going on. But, no, I still got that man anthology CD.
A couple of quick NFL notes. Dak Prescott is saying he wants to get paid. And you can't blame him because, look, for you and me, the idea of making $725,000 in a year is a king's ransom. It certainly would be for me. And I'm sure it would be for you. But that's what Dak made last year compared to the $16 or $17 million that a guy like Joe Flacco would make. It's peanuts. And Dak is saying, time to pay me, and I don't blame him. And so it's time to pay Dak Prescott. If you're going to pay him, you got to pay him if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
But you know what's funny? A lot of people, they're probably some of the mindset that are going to say, hey, Dak, just enjoy the fact that you're playing for the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to try to hit him with that. Just enjoy the fact that you're playing for the Dallas Cowboys. And some people don't like the fact that, you know, these young players come out in the media and they, you know, they want to be paid what they're worth. They want to be paid what they're worth. So that there probably was a little bit of backlash from that. But, yeah, for him to have taken the Dallas Cowboys where he's taking them, which is really nowhere, but he is their quarterback, then you got to get that man his money. Tony Romo all over again. Go for it. Pay that man.
Yeah, but Tony Romo paid.
If you want to look, he did. If you want to look at it, pay the coach, too. Pay Jason Garrett, too. He's done so well. And his tenure
all
there.
All right, here we go.
What, 12 years, one playoff win? Was it? No, two. He got two playoff wins. In his 10, 15-year career?
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, go and pay them both.
Yep.
But no, Dak should get paid, though. He should get paid.
Yeah, he should get paid. I mean, and he says he's not going to take a hometown discount either. So
why would he?
I know.
I don't understand. I love Dallas so much that they drafted me, in the seventh round? I wasn't even a starting quarterback until Romo got hurt.
And then I
got thrust into the duty. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Man, you might as well go with that hometown discount. Hometown discount these. For real.
I guess some teams just didn't think you're going to do
No, I've heard that. Like, I've heard people say that before. Hey, you love us so much that we want you to take a hometown discount. If you love me so much, why didn't you take me first? I mean, that's what I would say. If you love me so much, why did I sit all day? Why did I sit till Saturday? Why did I sit all day Saturday? That's what I would say. You didn't love me that much. So, yeah, no hometown deals. No hometown deals.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see how that affects. I mean, Dallas has had a luxury that very few teams have had, which is to have a quality starting quarterback who makes next to nothing by the NFL standards, which they could spend on other things, right? And now suddenly Dallas has got a pony up for their quarterback, and so that changes kind of the cap structure a little bit for the Dallas Cowboys, where maybe they're not going to have that room. You want to talk about hometown discount and team-friendly? You were paying him $725,000. I mean, that allowed you a lot of flexibility that you're not going to have anymore when you suddenly have to pay him $100 million or whatever they're going to have to pay him. Because,
oh, yeah, they're going to have to pay him. Yeah. They got to pay him comparable to the other young quarterbacks in the league.
Right. I mean, so suddenly that rookie deal is done, and now they got to pay him. So we'll see what that does and how that translates for the Dallas Cowboys in terms of the things that they have to do with their roster here in the offseason. I don't know if the Falcons are going to make another move this week. They may. I wouldn't surprise me. They've made big, bold moves, and they've been kind of – one of the guys said to me, are these moves coming out of the blue? And the answer is yes and no. I mean, they're coming out of the blue because we don't know when they're going to hit or when they're going to drop. And, yes, maybe the Matt Bryant move was a little bit of a surprise, but – you know, this team is going to continue to make moves. When will they announce the signings? I don't know. Are they waiting for other players to sign before they get a deal done with Julio? You know, do they? I think that there are other players. You know, it is interesting, Hugh. I think there are other wide receivers waiting to see what Julio does to set the market.
Probably.
See if he goes first.
They're probably also, John, in negotiations, and they haven't come to a number yet. Normally, in negotiations like this, when they're trying to figure something out, trying to hash it out, they like to keep it hush-hush. And you always hear people say, well, if you could you just keep it between us? So nobody's really talking about it. So they're probably in negotiations right now.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. Time the game on this Monday, nearly 30 years ago, 29 to be exact. Something happened in sports that forever changed a legend and altered a sport. Do you remember what happened 29 years ago that changed a sport and altered a legend? That's next with John and Hugh. We'll tell you. Around the corner on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 90, John the Game on this Monday. If you're headed in, man, you look out the palatial windows here. Check out the fog is rolling, man.
The palatial windows. Are we voguing? Did Vogue win a Grammy?
1990.
I just noticed that we played Grammy hit.
Well, there's a reason we chose 1990.
What happened?
Because when this was a hit in 1990, one of the biggest upsets in the history of the world of sports happened, and it came out of the blue. And it forever changed the sport because nobody expected it. It was in Tokyo, right? Was it Tokyo, AT, right? Tokyo?
Tokyo, Japan.
And when they made the announcement that this way, everybody went, nah, you're lying. That this actually happened 29 years ago today.
Landing these. Oh, Nate, I forgot. Mike Austin does it. Look at this. He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career. Mike Tyson hits the canvas. He's in big trouble. He may not be able to recover. It's up to seven and eight. He's not going to make it. Unbelievable. 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 Buster Douglas is the new heavyweight champion of the world.
James Buster Douglas beats Mike Tyson.
Ohio. I remember that because everybody thought Mike Tyson had been putting people to sleep. Like, he had been, anybody that lined up against Mike Tyson went to bed. Like, he was knocking fools out.
Annihilating folks.
Yes. And it was, so much so that people, they didn't believe what they were seeing. They thought it was all staged. Because they say he was fighting tomato cans. And, you know, there was a documentary talking about, hey, he was fighting the tomato can. I would venture to say that it didn't really matter because the dude was hitting so hard. That it really didn't. Nobody wanted to be hit by Mike Tyson.
Yeah, we're all scared. He had this, for those of you who don't remember Mike Tyson, an uppercut. Okay, that was basically his knockout punch. And he, you know, it was like Piston Hurricane. I mean, he would come in there and just guys would just cower. They were so afraid of him.
No, it was to the point where you would watch fights and guys would come in with all that fire and brimstone, that smoke. And when he would hit them, you would just see him every time, with every blow, you could just see their manhood just being taken away from him. And they were just crushing blows. And then when he caught Mitch Green outside that club that one night and swole his eye up, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Well, you know, the best story I've heard from that situation is the Bobby Brown audiobook, Every Little Step, where he talks about how him and Mike Tyson, the night before the Buster Douglas, like hours before that, were out in Japan partying, and then how they cried after the fact together because he
he got lost.
He got and never talked to each other again really after that.
Well, not only that, I lay a lot of fault with the handlers he had in his corner at that time. I can't remember those guys' names. I want to say John Horn was one.
Yeah, John Horn was one of them,
and
right?
I forget the name of the other.
John Horn was his guy during the bite fight.
Right. And we just saw, as a matter of fact, we just saw this
was Custer
on a 30 for 30.
Custer Motto was gone at that point.
Yeah, Custer Motto was gone, right?
This was just profiled on an ESPN 30 for 30 talking about Buster's win over Tyson, and they even flew him back to Tokyo and relived the situation and how James had such a star-crossed career at that point. But that night, it was the same night of the NBA slam dunk competition. So we were in Miami, and Kenny Smith had just beaten Dominique in the that particular year slam dunk competition. I'm getting back on the elevator at the Players Hotel, and someone just happened to say, Mike Tyson got knocked out. And I was like, what? And they said, Mike Tyson fought tonight in Tokyo. And it was like you didn't even know about it because the fight wasn't on national TV, I don't believe. And so
no,
you really...
I was at CNN.
Uh-huh.
We were working that night. As a matter of fact, I think it was Gary Miller and I. And we're sitting around. Somebody picked up the phone and rang. And somebody, hey, Tokyo just called Tokyo Bureau and said Mike Tyson got beat. We went, oh, come on.
Right.
Come on. What do you mean he got beat? By who?
Well, especially...
By some guy named Buster? No, he didn't get beat.
Because you hadn't really heard about Buster Douglas.
And he looked like he didn't train for the fight that well.
Well, he was in shape for that one.
Not like Mike Tyson's shape.
Mike was not in shape for that fight.
Oh, no, yeah. Like Mike Tyson, but even with that, Mike Tyson looked like he could still beat Buster Douglas. It was one of those things where Mike Tyson was such on a tear that it didn't matter what he looked like. You just knew, like, those punches hurt.
Well, it certainly had to be humbling as he tried to put that mouthpiece back in his mouth, and it wasn't happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had the controversial whether or not he had knocked Buster Douglas down earlier in the fight, if you recall. And there was some controversy brought up by Don King that it went beyond the regular 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I guess he was due. And that was that particular night.
Yeah, it was one of the great upsets. I mean, you know, somebody said, oh, it's the biggest upset in the history of sports. It's a big one. I don't know how you put a value on. To me, nothing is going to ever compare to the U.S. men's hockey team at Lake Placid. So,
what about when Seabiscuit beat War Admiral? No, seriously. Like, yeah. Everybody, why did I just suck all that oxygen out of the room? That was did you see the movie Seabiscuit?
I saw the movie Seabiscuit.
Did you see the race? Did you see the race between him and War Admiral?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see how much bigger War Admiral was than Seabiscuit?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. So what am I, why are you
Shaq's
looking at me like
a
I'm
lot
crazy?
Shaq's a lot bigger than Usain Bolt. What's the point?
What?
Who wins a foot race is a foot race. It has nothing to do with size.
But no, what I'm saying, come on, John. That was a great, the way that they put that together, I know I can't be the only one that thinks that was one of the greatest races ever.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but you think about the greatest upsets of all time. Because they said, you know, it's we're prisoners of the moment, right? Because
yes, we are. We're definitely that.
But when Maryland Baltimore County last year became the first 16 seed to beat a number one, when they beat Virginia in the opening round, everybody said, oh, it's the greatest upset in the history of sports. I'm like, I don't even think it's the greatest upset in the history of basketball. Chaminade beating Virginia and Ralph Sampson. Chaminade at NAIA school beats the number one Ralph Sampson.
I agree. That was a huge upset, but for a number 16 seed.
And Chaminade was an NAIA school.
Get all that. But this was a 16 seed that had never happened before, and we were expecting it to never happen.
But anyway, Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas, great. Great upset. And did that really kind of ruin Mike Tyson's career? Was that the beginning of the end for Mike Tyson? Because he used to walk into the ring and he had the fights were won. He did before the bell even rang. They were so scared of him.
Yeah, because he was very, very intimidating. And he would walk in the ring and just knock fools out. Yeah, that was the beginning of the end for Mike Tyson, though.
He wasn't invincible anymore.
Nah. Because he used to be Mighty. Was he Iron Mike?
Iron Mike
then
Tyson.
He became Mighty. After he took that L, he became Mighty Mike.
And then he put a thing on his face and...
Mike still puts you to sleep now, I do believe.
I'm not going to get in a ring with Mike Tyson. I'm not going to get anywhere near him.
Mike will still put you to sleep.
I only interviewed him one time, and I just stood and I went, okay. He was not anybody you wanted to have that trigger go off with. You went, okay, let's wrap this up. Three questions and we're done. Now the NFL hits the offseason. It really kind of kicks into gear. Hey, a good point by one of our texters that we're going to make here about the AAF here in a moment, too. Real good point. Which of the eight new head coaches, which teams made the best hire, which made the worst? One of the NFL talking points that we'll hit next at the top of the hour on this foggy Monday with John and you on Sports Radio 90. Join the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.